talking about the 4-month plan. In the days of Chaim Volozhin, we're going to try to explain it. That's where the source of it. In the days of Chaim Volozhin, an unbelievable story happened. He had a Talmud who eventually became a Pesach and a Rav in his own right. His name was Yasala, he became Yosef. And what happened was a telegram came to Yeshiva in Volozhin. And the telegram said that this person's father, Lalega, passed away, and the mother is wants a child home, he has a child also, and the mother wants him home, and he has to come and help out. And Reb Chaim from Volozhin didn't give the telegram to the boy, to the Talmud. A few months later, so another telegram comes to Volozhin, and it says in this telegram that the house where his mother resided and the family burnt down, and there's no clothing, there's no food in the house, and she needs help with the siblings, with her children, his siblings. And please come home. And I hate to take you away from learning, but please come home. And Reb Chaim Volozhin did not hand over the telegram. A few months later, comes a third telegram that the whole city is basically burnt down. There's nothing left in the city. There's no clothing, there's no hope. She can't even stay by a neighbor's house now. There's nothing. And she writes, it's an asoin gamor. It's total tragedy, total... You have to come home to help. And Chaim Volozhin at that point gave all three telegrams to this Talmud. And he told the Talmud, you have no choice but to go home, help out. And he said, Hashem, you'll be back soon. And that's what happened. So the Talmud is to, yeah, I understand maybe that you didn't give me the first telegram, because you figured it'll be a hefsek in my learning. And that's a judgment, that's a judgment call. So if it's going to be a hefsek in my learning, I won't be able to continue learning. And it's so, maybe one doesn't have to sit shiva, maybe one doesn't have to go help out. And it's efshar ayde acher. It's possible somebody else could help my mother out. And that's what happened. I understand you didn't give me the second telegram. Because, you know, even though the house burnt down, and there are no clothing, and there's no food, and there's no parnasa, but, you know, it's not the end of the world because there are neighbors who will help out. And there'll surely be some covering over the children, some food over the children, and something for everybody. It's hard, it's tragedy, but it's not an impossibility. And you figured my learning was more important than going and helping at the time. It's like the Rambam that you're not levat the Torah for something which is eshalasa side achir, something which somebody else could help out. Okay. I understand the third telegram you gave, because at that point, there's nobody here to help out. Nobody has anything. And there's no Red Cross. So, you know, if I don't do it, if not me, then who? So you have to give it to me, and if I had to leave. But why did he give me the first two telegrams? That's a lot of a buffer. At that point, just give me the third telegram. Why did he have to give me the first two? But what lesson were you trying to teach me? And it's Pashin. Reb Chaim Volozhin at that point was trying to teach him that the first two telegrams, you know, that doctor didn't give you. my doctor didn't give you, to teach you that you're right, that sometimes, even if on the outside the situation says, come home, but it's Efsha Lassus Ayyadei Acher, if other people can do it, and you can learn, so to show the importance of return. That's what the Pashto says. Reb Chaim Volozhin said, and it's not just that. Reb Chaim said, unbelievable, Reb Chaim, he said, and I wanted to teach you how chashuv your Torah is, that the Sultan had to go so far to burn down a house in order to move out to the Torah, and he wasn't successful. And he went a step further to burn down a whole city in order to move out to the Torah. That's how chashuv your Torah is. That's a panoramic look of Hashkafa. That we know everything that occurs in life, there's a reason for it. Is dying, is din. There's a judgment, there's a judge. And nothing just happens. Nothing's just haphazard. And the Sultan will take steps for a person to move on to Torah. Step after step. That's how chashuv this person's Torah is. So unbelievable, if you think about it, it's an eye-opener, you know, both in halacha and hanhaga and hashkafa for Chaim Volozhin. But Nogeda D'Aneinu is that, of course, in this world, there are what we call a lot of mafridim. There are a lot of things that are coming to interrupt. You know, if you call the sotah of interruption, you know, the malach of interruption, that's called the mafridim. Those people are just trying to bother. You know, there got to be some circumstance happened, something happened. You know, therefore to interrupt the learning. And the minute you interrupt the learning, it's not as intense, and you don't steig as much. I believe it was a really up time. I don't remember whose muscle it was. But let's say at 212 degrees, it takes a pint of water a split second, more than 15 minutes to boil. You know what? 15 minutes and 10 seconds. Okay? To boil. At 14 minutes, is it boiled? Mr. Goldberg, at 14 minutes, no. He's good. Goldberg's good. No. At 6 hours, is it boiled? Yes. It might be boiled out, but it's surely boiled. Goldberg. At 250 hours, is it boiled? Yes. 250 hours is about 1,000 times, this is 1,000 times, more than 15 minutes. It's probably 990 some more times than needed, because it's 15 minutes and 10 or 5 seconds. But it's 1,000 times. At 15 minutes, Goldberg, is it boiled? No. Let's say I boil it for 15 minutes and shut it off. And then boil it for 15 minutes and shut it off. And I do it 1,000 times. 250 hours, Mr. Goldberg. I boiled it for 15 minutes, shut it off for 15 seconds, and then turned it on. Will it be boiled? No. Absolutely not. Try it. It will not. Because it needs 15 minutes and 10 seconds. And I can do 15 minutes many times over. But the minute I stop the fire, and now it has to start again, it just cools down a little bit, doesn't have to go much down. I don't know how much I have to stop it for, but you stop, you take it on the flame, it needs the extra time if it cools off, to the amount it cools off. So it ain't gonna work. So he said that's the pshat in learning also. The Yetzer Hara is one thing to do. Interruption. Interruption means it's the cooling off of the learning, the Ishatera, from the flame. And what is it? You just restart again. And restart again. And all you do is restart it again. And nothing happens. Nothing really boils. So the mazikin, those spiritual powers that comes to bar the people from the learning, they just are called my freedom. They don't have to stop you from learning. To stop you from learning is a very hard job, even for a sutra. It just has to interrupt your life. That's much easier. And there are many interruptions. The Tziv says that there's an interruption that's built into the week. Beautiful the Tziv. The Tziv, they yesterday said to the Tziv, rumors have it. It was a positive, very powerful rumor that you could learn 20 hours uninterrupted. And you do that. And that's why you and the Tziv and other people were not. And the Tziv says it's not true. I don't learn 20 hours uninterrupted. I can't do it. How many hours? So the Tziv says, I don't know, it was 12 hours, I think it was, he says, uninterrupted. Much less than 20. And so the person says, if that's the case, many people would do 12 hours uninterrupted. Right, Mr. Goldberg? Many people can do 12 hours uninterrupted. So what made you the Tziv that they said you did uninterrupted learning that nobody else did? He said, Friday Shabbos. He says, yeah, many people do 12 hours every day, but they can't do it on Friday, they can't do it on Shabbos. He says, it might be maybe even less hours than other people, but it's on a constant basis. Friday Shabbos. But he said, that's what he said, it was almost like built in to the Seder HaShavua, to the order of the week, what they call a mafriya, a mafrit. Something to bother and an interruption. Erev Shabbos and Shabbos. So a person at that point on an Erev Shabbos and Shabbos doesn't learn, so he's starting all over again something. It's like after vacation. It's a fresh start, but it's a start. It's not a continuation. Yes, a fresh start is very good, but it's not a continuation. And the water never really boils. For the water to boil, it has to be constant every day, every time. The Chazanish writes something extremely powerful in his Igris. And he writes like this. Iker, if you remember these words, beautiful words. Iker halimut, what's most primary in learning, hu hatamidi, something which is tamid, constant, v'habilti nisa, and which is not stopped, uninterrupted. B'limut hatamidi, hu soid hakidusha. He says that the secret, or the foundation, it's really the secret of Kedusha, of holiness, is Liman HaTamidi, is learning without interruption. V'zeh Sha'oisa to Rosso Kroim Kroim. A person that makes his learning, you know, torn. There's interruptions, it's torn. A little piece here, a little piece there, a little piece all over. Piecemeal. It was like a beggar that's a shemata. So Lashon Rama. Aisha Drasha Kran Kran. So he says, is Asafua. It's meaningless. Really meaningless. Then he writes, Min Haroi, it's befitting L'chabel Tachabulas, to find all different ways to divine, devise plans, to be devious, find incentives, find plans, find different ways. Ech litnes es hasmodos alimut. To find a way to learn the hasmodo. What's the hasmodo? Constant, uninterrupted. Ulis palel al zetomit. A person should daven for siyata l'shmaya on how to learn as a tomit without interruption. And he says, Eshel dwelling with him, shayin l'chol yom. Sometimes, you know, it's hard to learn one thing all day. It's hard to learn like the tziv, the 12, the 15 hours uninterrupted. One sugya. So what do people do in class? So this is, he's showing the yeshiva system. They learned differently, Muda. A few hours on one parak, maybe the Ian. A few other hours on a different parak, in a different format of learning, the Kiyas. A few hours in a Chazara. It's different, both in what you're accomplishing and in this format. Unbelievable. Some Chumash, he writes, Kibol Blima Torah Shemichzav in Pirush Rashi. Chumash in Rashi. And you have Shnayim Tvecha Targa. And then you have Halacha. And then you have Musa. You already have 6-7 different topics and different things. But constant learning. Different subjects. So that is the Mish writes, the Seder HaYeshiva was a tachbula, was a plan devised in order to make us smother. That there shouldn't be interruptions. You should have said, I can't, it's 6 hours. It's not 6 hours. It's not 14 hours. It's only 2 hours of this, 2 hours of this, 2 hours of this subject, 2 hours of that subject, and a few hours of this subject. But it's not that much. Leave it Mishnah, Sefer Musa, Gemara Be'ian, he calls it, and he calls Bekiyas, he doesn't call Bekiyas, Bekiyas. Gemara Be'ian, Uvim Behemis. And then the quick learning. That's Bekiyas. Quicker learning. Litnus Chavetoy, Lubu Beisam Medrish, Lubu Beisam Medrish, Lubu the Chavrusa. In different ways, in many other different ways. Va'ikka, there's Lizko of Nehemiah to Omel, in front of who you have your Amelia Santayma, Lilila Siyach Das from there, and not to be Siyach Das from this. But that's the Chiddush, and he writes a line before. Lilmud Sha'achas, if a person learns for an hour, Ulahafsik Sha'achas, and then he's Bafsik for an hour, takes a recess, not learning something else. But takes your real recess. Who kiyamatayu? That is something that establishes and keeps what tohu, you know, purposelessness, the soba vo, confusion, emptiness, ha'efesmad, nothingness, and lacking. That's dana mahalat. So, you know what? You just, if the Hanukkah can follow this, it means as follows. I once heard this from Adam Choshev. Let's say you're doing physical work. Think about this a minute. So this is, it's true, you can test it out. I don't know the exact numbers. But if you had to move and the tables were heavy, all the tables, you know, clear out the base of measures, and you did it one after another, after another, after another, after another, after another, without a break, it would take you much longer than if you moved the table and sat down for a minute to rest, and then moved another table, another table, another table. Rest in physical labor is extremely important. That they once did a study, I don't remember it, but when people were working 22 minutes out of the hour in physical labor, they were accomplishing more than working 60 minutes out of the hour. But the rest allowed them, if you rested for a few minutes and retreat everything, the same amount of time, maybe even a little more, you're able to accomplish much more, carry much more. Okay, it makes sense? So in physical labor, resting for 38 minutes out of the hour, working only for 22, was more effective. But in learning, it's vicariate. The resting from learning, the hefsek from learning, takes away from the learning. So if a person learns an hour straight, it's much stronger than learning even 40 minutes and 40 minutes with a 20 minute hefsek. Even though there was longer learning, more time, but the hefsek took away from it. Because that's spiritual. That's metaphysical. That's not physical labor. It's an amazing thing. But to do the 60 minutes, the more I can do at once, Beretzifus, that's much stronger. That's what the, for 1 minute. But some nights I can't maybe focus on one thing. So he said as follows, it's just the same, really. What do you do? Of course I can take a break. I can do 22 minutes of a 38 minute break. The break is not from learning, the break is from that sukkah. I learned something else. So I'll do a half an hour of Chumash Rashi, a half an hour of Mishnah. Constant learning, but the Mishnah is the break from the Chumash Rashi, and the next Chumash Rashi is the break from the Mishnah. But it has to be constant learning. And that's just immediate, that the Chumash writes. And again, the Chumash says that a person that has any type of mafri in between, so his Torah becomes prime, it becomes patchwork. And that's not called a masmid. So if you want to know, if anyone asks you, that what's the pshat in Sidrei HaYeshiva, how they built the Sidrei HaYeshivas in the entire world, the way they did it, it's really based on this mikhtav of Zadish, of it has to be constant, full Seder, doesn't have to be the same thing. So that's really the whole thing we're talking about. You know, a few months plan of consistent learning. It's all based on this Chiddush and that story from Reb Chaim Volozhin, and especially with the Netziv. Such a beautiful Netziv. To think about it, that just like you can have, you know, an hour interruption in a Seder is an interruption and it's a fresh start. In the week also, if I interrupt on a Friday, if I don't learn on a Shabbos, then Sunday is not a continuation, it's a fresh start. And that's not good learning. And there's no greater argument than this, to keep a Shach Friday Seder and a Shabbos Seder.